People of God, would you turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 72? Psalm 72. You can find that on page 485 if you're using the black Bible there in front of you or underneath you if you're in the front or back rows. Page 485, Psalm 72. We'll read the whole thing, all 20 verses. When you get there, if you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 72. Hear the word of our holy God. Of Solomon, give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy from oppression and violence. He redeems their life. Precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. People of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you for your word and that we meet you in it. We pray, God, that you would lead us now in your word and teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as we continue to study this prayer book of your people. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, that we might know you more and love you better and love like you love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So before we jump into Psalm 72... in order for us to, I think, pray effectively from this psalm, I think we need to take some time to look and review the overarching story of the Bible, because in order to really grasp what we're praying for in the psalm, we got to understand the world as God designed it, and especially our role, humanity's role in that world as God designed it, and as God continues to restore us to that role. So, for our note takers this morning, the introduction this morning is going to take up about half our time. So leave a little bit more space, and then we'll have our 3 points, a little bit less time on those 3 points, but only a little bit less. So let's start at the beginning. God creates the heavens and the earth, fills the whole world with all creation, right? Plants and animals and everything, and then God creates humanity. Places humanity, our first parents, in the world and tells them their job is to rule the world on God's behalf. In many ways, Psalm 72, right, is describing humanity's design, right? This is how we were made. Take care of the world, govern and rule so that the mountains bear prosperity for the people, the hills in righteousness, rule all things on God's behalf so the earth itself flourishes and people flourish and peace abounds. That's what we were made for. This is our design. The role of humanity is to image God, to reign in his name so there's abundance in the land. So the people in the cities blossom. Psalm 72 says, so they blossom like the grass of the field, and so that the name of the Lord is praised forever. That's God's design for humanity. This is our calling. This is the role God gives our first parents when he makes them and places them in the garden. But they disobey God in the garden. They trade out God's design for their rule and instead take matters into their own hands. Instead of trusting God's wisdom, instead of trusting God's timing, they listen to that ancient enemy, the serpent, the dragon. And through their disobedience, they bring sin and destruction and darkness into the world. They corrupted their hearts. And through our first parents' sin, through our first parents' disobedience, they corrupted our hearts, your heart and my heart, our very nature corrupted because of their rebellion against the Lord. So instead of ruling in God's name, instead of ruling on God's behalf, the world is full of oppression, injustice and poverty and greed and violence, all manner of evil and suffering and death. But God in his goodness doesn't abandon us to that darkness and death. He makes a promise to our first parents. He makes that promise even more explicitly to Abraham later, this promise to one day heal the world, this promise to make all things new and whole and right again, a promise to gather together a people restored to God's design who, like our first parents were supposed to, who would live in that world new, whole, right again and reign over it just like we were designed to. God's promise to Abraham is that God would put all things right again in the world and in us, and even restore us to that design and role as his representative rulers on the earth. So God tells Abraham, this promise is going to be demonstrated through kings on the earth. Kings will come from you, the Lord says to Abraham, referring, of course, to Jesus, right? Eventual, perfect, righteous king forever. Eventually refers even to us, restored representative rulers. But first, before we get there, before Jesus comes, before we're restored to our design, God was pointing forward to David. Kings will come from you. God continues to reveal his promise to us through the Israelite kings. In these kings, we get these glimpses of God's representative ruler bringing rest to the land, right? The land was suffering because of our failed rule over it, brings rest to the land, and the human representative would bring peace to God's people. Rest to the land, peace to God's people. When the Israelite king worked rightly, God's name was known. The people of the land flourished. Everyone has enough. Even creation itself flourished under humans living out their design, living out their God-given calling. We get to David. David is the supreme example of this representative human ruler. He brings an end to war for Israel, right? Peace to God's people. There's no more invading neighbors under David's reign. No more armed conflict for the people of Israel. The people under David experience a season of peace and flourishing and prosperity. He brings the tabernacle into the new capital city, centralizing the worship of Yahweh. So the fame of God continues to spread as the nations hear about Israel and hear about Israel's God. David there gives us this glimpse of God's design for humanity. Representative human ruler bringing peace to the people, rest even to creation, rest to the land, peace to God's people. Well, if you know the story of David, of course, David also shows us the corruption of the human heart is still there. That corruption from our first parents, it lurks even in King David's heart, his affair with Bathsheba. His murder of her husband to cover it up, his failures as a father, as a king. Even in David, we get this reminder, things are not yet right in the world. Even the descendants of Abraham, even the lineage of David, it's not enough to heal the world. It's not enough to restore humanity to God. It's not enough to restore humanity to God's design. It's not enough to bring about that rule that flourishes the earth and all the people in it. So the promise of Abraham, the promise of David, points to a greater king. Points us to Jesus. And without going into too much detail right here, already we can see some of why God has to take on a human nature, don't we? God designed the world to be ruled by a human representative. Humanity was God's designated representative to rule the earth. That's the design for our first parents. That's the promise to Abraham. That's the picture we see played out in David, this human ruler, rest to the land, peace to God's people, flourishing of the earth and all that's in it. So God takes on human nature. Jesus lives out our design, bears the curse of our corrupt nature on the cross, where he defeats sin and darkness and evil and death through his resurrection from death. So through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus restores us to God and is restoring us even to our design. Even right now, God is making all things new through us, through his people. As we spread across the face of the earth, living out that new humanity, living out restored humanity, living out God's design for humanity in the world. Jesus promises to return one day, to come with glory along with his departed saints, to finish that making all things new work that he began in his life, death, and resurrection and continues through us. He's going to complete it when he comes again. He'll put a final end to all sin, all darkness, all evil, all death. He'll bring final judgment on all those who hate what is true and just and beautiful, and he'll establish his full and final rule of redeemed humanity on the earth. All things new. All things whole and right. God's people reigning in God's name, on God's behalf, as his representatives on the earth. In the meantime, while we wait for King Jesus to come back, Jesus is active. He's working. He's already right now making all things new. He's made us new, gave us new hearts, put his spirit within us, renews us by his grace day by day, and through us, he's making all things on the earth new. As we live out God's word, as we live out God's ways, as we live out God's design, he's pushing back the darkness. He's demonstrating justice. He's revealing truth. He's proclaiming beauty. Through us, God is filling the earth with his glory and already making all things new. So the story of the Bible traces this arc here of God's design for and his restoration of humanity from our first parents, Abraham, David, through all the history of Israel up to Jesus, to and through now us today, while we wait for King Jesus to come back and make all things new. With that family, now we're ready for Psalm 72. With this context, with this story arc, now we can start to see what exactly are we praying when we pray Psalm 72. Psalm 72, and this is true for all the royal psalms, all the psalms in the Psalter that talk about the king, like Psalm 2 and 45 and 110, they're all prayers, right, for and about the king of Israel. And when we take this story arc from our first parents and Abraham and David and Jesus to us, we can see what we're really praying for in here. When we pray the royal psalms, here are three things that we're praying. We're praying, help us, Jesus. We're praying, come, Lord Jesus. And we're praying, make us more like Jesus. When we read and pray the Psalms about the kings of Israel, Psalms like Psalm 72, we're praying, help us, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and make us more and more like Jesus. Let's look at these briefly together. We'll start with, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Look at Psalm 72, verse 3 this morning. Psalm 72, verse 3, let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. Or go down to verse 16. May there be an abundance of grain in the land, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. Does it seem to you like all people are blossoming and flourishing in the world today? Does it seem today like the world is bearing prosperity for all people? Does it seem, you keep reading Psalm 72, does it seem like the poor and needy have enough, have advocates, are taken care of and protected? I mean, it doesn't, right? The world is not right, it's broken. And so Psalm 72, it helps us acknowledge all that's broken in the world around us. It's a prayer for help. It's a prayer, God, would you fix what's broken and heal what's wrong? Fix the world, Jesus. The psalm, it's a prayer for Jesus to help and heal and fix and restore. Look at verse 12. Jesus, deliver the needy. Jesus, provide for the poor. Jesus, have pity on the weak and the broken and the needy. Rescue their lives from violence and oppression. Psalm 72 and all the royal psalms are prayers by which we cry out, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. And notice, too, as you read through Psalm 72, it's not just about alleviating suffering. It is that for sure. But it's also more than that. It's about prospering and flourishing us. Look at verse 16 again. Here's the prayer. Let there be enough for everyone. Flourish us, prosper us, blossom us like the grass of the field. Now, before I say the next thing that I want to say, I want to be really, really clear here first. The United States is not the new Israel. Some forms of theology that teach that. The promises of the Old Testament for Israel through Jesus are now promises extended to all faithful Israelites and Gentiles who put their faith in Jesus Christ. So what we can't do is just take the Old Testament land promises and then apply them to any single country. They're not promises just for the United States. We'll make that really clear. So that I can say, in Jesus, we see that Israel is a small picture of God's design for the whole world. Remember how we began? First parents, designed to rule and flourish in and over the entire earth. Abraham and David, small pictures to teach about us their design, lead us to Jesus, through whom we're restored back to that original calling and design. Now we spread over all the earth. What that means is Psalm 72 is a prayer for whatever country God places us in. If you live in Mexico, you pray this for Mexico. If you're from Lithuania, you pray this for Lithuania. If you live in the U.S., you pray this for the U.S. God bless us. God prosper us. God, may there be enough for us. And that then becomes a prayer that we pray for our leaders. Again, remember, we got to go through the right order, through this right arc, and then we can come and see. Psalm 72 points us to Jesus. Through Jesus, we're being rescued and restored to our design and calling. And that includes then praying for those who serve in leadership roles, especially in government roles. So we're praying through a Jesus lens, but we still pray, verse 1, God, give us just leaders. God, would our leaders govern with your wisdom and righteousness? Verse 4, God, would our leaders defend the poor and the needy? Verse 12, God, would our leaders deliver the needy and advocate for the poor and have pity on the weak and save the needy and rescue them from oppression and violence? Would you, God, here's the prayer, would you, God, verse 14, give us leaders who care about the lives of the weakest and most vulnerable? And I love verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, God, would you give us leaders that are like fresh rain on the earth? The prayer of verse 7. This is the prayer that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy in his letter. Right? What does Paul tell Timothy? He says, pray for all those in high positions, right? Where you are, so that we can live peaceful, quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. That's verse 7. God, give us leaders that under whom the righteous flourish. Leaders who make peace, where peace abounds under their leadership. You see, the royal Psalms, as we understand the story arc of God's salvation history, God's design leading us through the Israelite kings to Jesus, and through Jesus restoring us to that design while we wait for his return, we pray the royal Psalms like this: help us, Jesus. Heal the world, Jesus. Prosper even our own country, Jesus. Give us leaders like fresh rain, Jesus, who lead with justice and righteousness and care about and advocate for the weakest and most vulnerable. Grant us peace, righteousness, justice in our country, in the land, O God. Help us, Jesus. And what happens as we pray this? Help us, Jesus. We're praying this all the while acknowledging, remember the story arc, that perfect ruler, that true and lasting peace, a true healing of the world and flourishing of all that is in it, it'll come only when King Jesus returns. So when we read and pray the royal Psalms, we're praying, help us, Jesus. And we're also praying, come, Lord Jesus. Let's look at that together. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. In Daniel chapter 6 is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. So Daniel has been thrown into this den of lions because of his faithfulness to Yahweh. And the king, right? The king loves Daniel. He was tricked, actually, into sending Daniel to the lions. If you don't know the story, I encourage you to go read it, Daniel 6. Next morning, Daniel's been in the den all night. The next morning, this king loves Daniel. The king comes running to the den to see if Daniel's still alive. He calls down, Daniel, Daniel, are you okay? Daniel, Daniel, did your God rescue you? And Daniel says this. Here's Daniel's words. He says, oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, live forever. It's just a proper address to royalty, right? In honorific of the king. Long live the king, right? A way to show respect and honor to the ruler. Psalm 72, verses 8 through 11. May the king rule from sea to sea. May all the neighboring nations come and bring gifts and serve him. Verse 7, may he bring peace until the moon ceases to exist. Verse 17, may his name endure forever. These are honors, blessings, in exaggerated language given out of respect for the new Israelite king. O king, live forever. Long live the king. Some people think Psalm 72, it says, of Solomon, the Hebrew can be translated for Solomon, that maybe this is David's last prayer, his last psalm, and he writes it for his son, praying the 2 Samuel 7 over his son. So takes this up, long live the king, O king, live forever. But what happens in Israelite history is as the people of God continue to pray and read Psalm 72, these hopes and promises are taken up along the line, 2 Samuel 7, along the lines leading toward God's promised Messiah. Takes up God's own promise to David in 2 Samuel 7. A descendant of David, sometime a descendant of David is going to rule forever. And this became that hope, that expectation of a king like David who one day would bring peace and prosperity and flourishing to God's people and even for the whole earth. Rest to the land, peace for God's people. Well, that royal language points to Jesus' exaltation and eternal rule. So at his ascension, after his resurrection, Jesus ascends into heaven, sits at God's right hand, and rules the world. And one day he's going to come back and establish fully and finally his rule over all things. And again, only when Jesus comes, only when Jesus comes will we see a king perfectly ruling with justice and righteousness. Only when Jesus comes will we see the land perfectly bearing prosperity for humanity, an end to oppression forever, an end to injustice forever, an end to scarcity and fear forever. He will rule and be like rain on fresh mown grass, like showers watering the earth so that it's renewed. And we will blossom on the earth like we're designed to. There'll be enough, and his name will endure forever. And so when we pray psalms like Psalm 72, the royal psalms, we're praying and saying, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And these prayers, they cultivate in us a longing for Jesus' return as we look at that and say, only Jesus is this kind of king. Only Jesus is this kind of ruler. And we long more and more when we pray these for King Jesus to come. They teach us to long for his return. And as we see Jesus more and more as that true king, the only ruler of all things, then we're also reminded, look at verse 17, verses 8 through 11, we're reminded King Jesus does actually rule over every nation. He comes to bring healing and peace to all people, to the whole earth, not just our country. And so again, I want to be really clear. I think we can pray Psalm 72 for our country. God bless the USA. God prosper and flourish us. God give us righteous leaders. But as we pray and tune our hearts more and more to Jesus, we're also reminded our country is just one small part of God's eternal worldwide kingdom. So we start praying then, not just for our own country, but for all the world, for all nations. God, would you provide for them too? God, would you bless and flourish and prosper them too? God, would you give all nations just and righteous leaders? God, would you cause the whole world to experience your perfect rule, your favor, the flourishing of humanity just like you designed? That's why Jesus came, to restore all people to God's design. And this then leads us to our last point this morning. The royal psalms teach us to pray, help us, Jesus. They teach us to pray, come, Lord Jesus. And then they lead us to pray, make us more and more like Jesus. Make us like Jesus. If we go back to this overarching storyline of Scripture, God's design for our first parents to be his representative rulers on the earth, corrupted because of their sin. But God doesn't abandon us. He comes to Abraham, promises to heal the world and gather to himself a people to do exactly what he designed humanity to do, right? Rule on the earth in his name and on his behalf. We glimpse that in David, not perfectly, but we see a representative ruler bringing rest to the land, peace to God's people. And he points us to Jesus, that perfect king, that perfect ruler, the king that we're praying for in Psalm 72. And through Jesus, God is right now restoring us to our design, using us to fill the earth with his glory, using us to make all things new. So if you've been with us the past few months, we've been talking about this design for humanity, this calling, this God-given role. God's making all things new through us as we live out the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. God's making all things new as we bear the fruit of the Spirit where we live, work, study, play, as in Galatians 5. And now we see the exact same thing here in the Psalms. As we keep praying the Psalms, many of you have been praying through the Psalms with me, we find they're not just prayers, are they? They actually shape us. They mold us. They're forming us into the very people God has called and designed us to be. They're forming us into His people. So, as we said with the Lord's Prayer, now with the Psalm, we pray from the Psalms, and we pray ourselves into the Psalms, praying ourselves into those very people they describe. So in the Royal Psalms, we pray, help us, Jesus. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. And then we pray ourselves into Psalm 72 and say, make us like Jesus. Make us like Jesus. And what kind of people is God making us to be? Verse 4, kinds of people who defend the cause of the poor, who deliver the children of the needy, who work against injustice and oppression. Verse 6 and 7, God is using us, using you right where you are, right, to bring rest to the world and peace to God's people. I mean, here's a small way to gauge whether you're becoming more and more like Jesus or not. Does your life bring refreshment to the people around you? Are you like fresh rain on mown grass in your community? Are you like spring showers that cause the people around you to flourish more and more? Do you bring life and refreshment and joy to people around you? Or are you a stench and a hardship? Do you stunt the growth of the people around you? Or do you help them blossom like the grass of the field? Because that's our calling. Growing like Jesus means being part of His making all things new. It means advocating for what's true and just and beautiful. It means bringing peace and refreshment and flourishing to the world around us. And what happens when we do that? What happens when you and I live and love like Jesus, when we bring this fresh life to those around us, when we live and love like Jesus, then Jesus is made known. Look at verse 17. May His name endure forever. When you live out Psalm 72, Jesus' name is made known. Jesus' kingdom spreads. This is verses 8 through 11. The spread of our King's dominion comes through His people spreading across the globe and living and loving like He does. That's how He is right now. That's how Jesus right now is making all things new. That's how Jesus right now is filling the earth with His glory. When you live like this, when you live and love like Jesus, Jesus is making all things new through you. And His name is glorified and His fame spreads. This is what we pray when we pray the Royal Psalms. We pray, help us, Jesus. Crying out against all that's broken in the world, asking God to bless even our own country. God, give us just and righteous leaders under whom the righteous flourish. We pray, help us, Jesus. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus. We know that only He rules perfectly. He alone brings final rest and peace and flourishing, not just to creation, but to humanity. So come now, Jesus. Make all things new, Jesus. And until then, would you use us, Jesus? Make us more like Jesus, because through us, He's right now making all things new and spreading His fame and His glory. Will you pray with me? And so, Father, we thank You for Your word and for just the way that You've revealed Your promises to Your people. Through Your first parents and then through Abraham and the fathers and the judges leading us to the kings and David and all Israelite history, that we might see Jesus in Your design for humanity that You're restoring in Jesus. And so would You help us, Jesus? The world is not like You've designed. It's broken and full of sin and darkness and evil and death. Would You oppose it? Would You make it new? Would You come and heal the world, Lord Jesus? We pray for our own country, that You would flourish us, Jesus, that You would give us righteous, just leaders locally and in our state and in our nation, that the righteous would flourish. We pray that, God, for the whole world. Would you bring rest to the land, peace to your people? There would be enough. That you would bring an end to oppression and injustice. That we would see what is true and just and beautiful. And while we wait for your return, would we live in love like Jesus? Would we live out Psalm 72, and through us, would your name endure forever, and all nations call you King and Lord? We thank you, Father, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.